I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Verifying.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Guess what, folks? He's back. Hi, Lloyd.
I'm back.
Oh.
My voice isn't all goofy. Too.
And the voice is back. So Lloyd came back and gave it a go on Monday and realized that he just wasn't ready to give it the go. And took Tuesday, I called him Tuesday, and he was getting pumped full of fluids. And, Lloyd, it sounds like
vitamins and stuff like that, you know.
Might have done it for you, huh?
Yes. If you're in a bad place like that and you're a little under the weather, I highly recommend it.
So you said that we were in a meeting this morning, and you said that, and I was like, I thought you were, like, joking. Like, you had somebody come over to administer an IV, and I'm like, what is that? There's just dudes that run around in vans and just hook you up to an IV.
Well, apparently, dudes and females,
it's both. Yes, all types.
Well, I meant collectively, you know.
They are. And
I had this wonderful gal, Lloyd, Danica, whew, lifesaver. And I don't even care. I'll shout it out. The company's called Revive. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, it put some life in me. So it rehydrates you. You get rehydrated. Pump me. I got two shots full of some vitamin C, some Toradol for headaches, steroid for the cough, vitamin D, like you name it. Like, I got it.
And it helped.
And it helped a ton.
Did anything else come with the service?
No, nothing else came with the service. No.
Well, that's awesome.
What do you mean?
Tell me more. Like, if there's like, do they put like a B vitamins and like?
Sure, you can get all sorts of vitamins.
Caffeine in there,
so you can create your own little cocktail.
Do like a hot.
They have like a whole list of different like they have one. They have a list of different things that you can get. Like, they have different things with it. There's one called the Hangover, where you know what that's for. Yeah, it literally brings you back to life, rehydrates you and everything. And apparently college kids do this.
I've never even heard of this place. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I've not. I've not heard of this.
Well, I'm telling you, if you're in a bad place, it's a little pricey.
Well, it's a little pricey. I'm glad you're better, Lloyd. And I'm glad you're back. Get the band back together and get things going again.
I think we're back together for good.
Is this something like, did you just go out of pocket on this thing, or was it?
No, you can put it on the card. You can put your whatchamacallit card on it.
Oh, the flex spending?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Now that'll take care of it.
That's a little bit of a perk. I mean, you're just not paying taxes.
It is. Yeah, it is. it's pricey.
Give us a number. Okay, now I'm interested in.
Well, I'm on the website. I'm trying to see.
Yeah, check it out.
Rates on here. Fat burner, hangover, immunity, recovery, migraine, gut bug. I don't know what that is, but
did you get the gut bug too? There,
no, I didn't do the gut bug.
So what do you go with?
I can't even remember. Jessica's the one recovery? That set it up.
I bet it might have been the recovery one. And hangover. He's like, hey, give me one of your hangovers and recoveries.
Okay. Stop it.
And maybe a shot of gut bug.
That gut bug will never hurt anybody. Go ahead and put that in there. That'll be $1,400. Oh, let's just go ahead and go with the recovery. Well, we already pumped in the other ones.
Oh, man.
I'm going to need you to take those out.
I don't even care, dude. I'll tell you, it was a lifesaver.
So you got it, and then all of a sudden you're like, all right, let's go.
I got done at like, it finished up about 11:30, and I was just like, I feel like I can go to work right now. I wasn't feeling like that before I got it. And I was like, I could go to work right now. And Jessica's like, no, it's just get in bed. Get back in bed and take the day, and then you can go back tomorrow if you're still feeling great.
Hey, before we jump in the starter, Scotty and Lloyd, I wanted to throw this at you. How are we going to support an XFL with the USFL now? Because did you see the XFL just signed a deal with Disney and ESPN?
Yeah.
A multi-year deal?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It'll last, what, a year maybe?
Well, that's what I can't figure out.
Where are the players coming from?
And that's the USFL just made a pretty aggressive move to lock up the players. Did you see that? They expanded all of their rosters by two more, so they're going to lock up 40 more players that came out of this draft, that went undrafted, or maybe got cut from the NFL that are borderline NFL guys. The USFL was smart, Scotty, because what they did with the contract was they said, we contract you, we have the right to resign you before anybody else can resign you.
Ooh.
So the USFL, knowing that the XFL – would be jumping in, which I think it starts like a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So you come out of the Super Bowl, and then the XFL kicks off.
That's kind of when your old arena season started.
Pretty darn close, yeah. And obviously, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I guess, has some pull with ESPN and Disney.
Yeah.
And so they've signed a multi-year deal. But I just sent out a poll question that said, have you watched a USFL game yet this season? Gave three options. Yes, a whole game. Yes, 20-plus minutes. And nope, not a single second. 77% of the 500 votes that have come in said not a single second. 20% said yes, 20 minutes plus. Only 3% said yeah, watched a game. Nobody's watching the USFL. It's terrible football. It's even worse broadcast. The audio, the voices in the studio, everything's. Now they went out and they got some head coaches that have name recognition.
Yeah, coaches got some legacy. They got some name value.
Some legacy, yeah, some name value.
Saw Mike Riley in there.
Yeah, Mike Riley's in there. Jeff Fisher. You know, they've got some coaches. They restricted teams. I think they've only got eight teams. They've tried to, you know, really keep it small and simple. I think it's only eight teams. But that tells you how much I don't even know a lot about the league. Now, I was very blessed to have a league to go to for a buffer into the real world. It was really nice, kind of ushered me into real life. But I don't know how the XFL is going to succeed. I don't know how this USFL succeeds. I can't see this USFL having another season. Unless they were able to just keep overhead that low.
That's the thing. Are they going to, because you're paying your coaches quite a bit of money, your players aren't making much. You gave the salary on, or like, what is it per game?
So you can make, the most you can make if you go win the championship is $78,000.
Okay.
But I think that the base salary and everybody makes $50,000.
All right.
There's no higher pay or lower pay.
And they're all keeping them in that one place,
bonuses.
Right? There's not travel costs, right?
Right. It's all played in one specific area. Yep. So you've kept your costs low, but you got pretty high rosters. The thing is your product flopped.
Yeah.
You had one chance to roll out a new product to pique interest, and it's football, and you know how much I love football. I've tuned into two games. Both of them were miserable. Horrible.
Really bad quarterback play, too.
Terrible quarterback play. And really, when you watch it, I don't think this is unkind. When you watch it, it's high school level football base. Like, it's not, there's not these NFL intricacies. There's not even really college intricacies into defensive shifts that I've seen in the two games I've watched. All of your offensive plays are kind of like your old high school calls. And I'm listening because you can hear the play calls. It's nothing like college, and it's nothing, definitely nothing like the NFL. Now, I played in Peyton Manning's system, which is very intricate, so maybe I'm comparing it to a 2 and 3 play call system that was extremely tough. It was all dedicated to what safety movement and mic assignment is, and it was really difficult. But I watched these plays, and I'm like, holy cow, this is – I'm pretty sure when I played for Weezer High School, I had as deep of an offensive set as these guys are running. So, and that might not mean anything to the guy that's just tuning into football, but to me it's like, well, this is dumbed down.
Yeah.
This is lame, which
– Well, these are all college players too. I mean, it surprises me. And like Mike Riley was known – now, Mike Riley didn't have a ton of success outside of, you know, some years at Oregon State, but Mike Riley's known as this offensive guru. And so why is he dumbing down and playing
I don't know.
Garbage system.
I don't know, but I'll bet, like, if a Utah football player, if a Utah defensive football player goes into the USFL, I guarantee they're looking around like, this is it? This is all we got? Like, where's all our blitz checks? Where's our green dogs? Where's our key and read recognitions? You're just going to give a call and then we run that direction? Okay. And I remember making the move from the NFL to the AFL, and I was like, oh, okay, so there's only 8 plays, and there's only a few of us on the field? Okay, that I'll play center. That'll be easier.
Boy, you went from, like, reading War and Peace to, like, Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
Going from Peyton to the AFL, I got to imagine.
Yeah, War and Peace to see Jane run. Yeah. It was that dumbed down. And maybe the USFL does that for one reason. I will tell you that, you know, a lot of guys that don't make it in the league, and this was partially my problem, a lot of guys that don't make it in the league just can't catch on with the verbiage. They can't catch on with the depth and the intricacies of reads and adjustments. Some guys just speak the language. Like, I'm not even kidding you.
It is like learning a foreign language, right?
And you know, I don't, you know, I didn't have a friendship with Edrin James. I mean, we're just teammates. But Edrin just spoke football. And he had Peyton's offense locked down. And I remember after 1 year playing on the defensive side under Vic Fangio, making that move to the offensive side and starting into Peyton Manning's offense or Tom Moore's offense. And Tom Moore is now helping coordinate with the New England Patriots. No, sorry.
I think the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Brady.
He was with the Patriots, wasn't he? When
I think so. Yeah.
For a short period of time. But anyways, I remember jumping into that and thinking, how does anybody truly understand what's going on here in the blink of an eye? So I don't know. Maybe the USFL is just trying to keep it simple because, you know, they don't want mental errors. I'm not sure, but it seems simple. The quarterback play, as you mentioned, not good. The broadcast, not good. And here comes the XFL. I do wonder if Dwayne Johnson brings a bit of the theatrics.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, he opened up the Super Bowl with some call or what? He opened up the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I can't remember. Lloyd, do you remember what that sounded like, by chance?
No. I can't. It was weird. I remember it was a little weird.
I know what you're doing.
Why am I the only one on the same page here?
What are you doing?
Where's the drop?
Oh, I'm so glad Lloyd's still sick. I hope that one goes away for time and all eternity. And it looks like it might have.
When you were referencing, I'm like, oh, Lloyd's going to play this here any second now.
Oh, gosh. Now it just hit me. Holy cow. Usually. Yeah, all right.
Can you get another IV?
Do you think the XFL is going to work?
No, none of them are going to work. USFL is not going to work. XFL is not going to work. And I don't know why. People are like, you know, they want to keep hitting their head against the wall over and over. Oh, this time it's going to work. This time it's going to work. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe, I truly believe, and I don't know why people can't wrap their brains around this. If somebody were to go in and invest into arena football, I think arena football works because it's different. You can still have high-level athletes. You run it during the summer. People don't want to – if somebody wants to go into a nice air-conditioned building and watch football, they can do it. In July or August in Birmingham, Alabama, people don't want to take their kids and go watch this football. And when you try to replicate NFL football, you can't because all the best players are in the NFL. But you can bring some Joe Schmuckatelli off the street, and he can throw for a bunch of yards in arena football. And so you can have exciting football. Like, I don't know why everybody's just giving up on arena football, because honestly, I think that could be successful. When you try to replicate the NFL game, it's never going to work.
I agree.
Hey, I pulled Brock's audio if you want that.
No, it's too late.
Oh, really?
No, it's not funny.
No, it's Boy not. You want to remember what he said.
Can you smell a little, what the rock is cooking?
And that's what he said.
It's still pretty funny.
It was weird.
It's not. That felt forced.
No, it didn't.
It felt really forced. Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Tatum working from the left side. He threw it away. Right to the hands of Jimmy. Will it be a pick six? He pump fakes twice, three times. Puts it up over top of both Tatum and Brown for two.
Off the back ribs by Butler.
Up and down for two more. Jimmy gets steals and buckets. Back to Jimmy on the right side. Elevates, fires a three at the end of the shot clock. And knocked it down right in Tatum's face.
I speak for my teammates and the Miami Heat organization whenever I say I know what I'm capable of. And I don't do this to score 40 points. I play the way that I play to win, by all means necessary. And it just so happened that I scored 40. But if I score 40 and lose, I'm going to be really pissed off.
We need to...
Understandable.
At least from my perspective, I'm ready to have a Jimmy Butler appreciation day. Because if you look at not only what he did last night, but if you take a step back and, you know, we had the conversation, top 10 players in the league, and is Jimmy Butler in there? Well, I don't know why, because for some reason we've all been talking about Golden State and Dallas and Luka and what's going on in Boston. Miami is a team that's got great history. They've won championships. They've got an elite-level coach. They're in a major market. But whatever reason, we keep not talking about Miami. And I don't know why, but Miami just flexed last night against Boston in a big way. Jimmy Butler, who's had himself a phenomenal playoff run, just announced to the world, like, okay, keep not talking about us. We're just going to keep winning games.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. Keep going on your Jimmy Butler Appreciation Day.
41 points last night. He gets to the free throw line 18 times, where he makes 17 of them, 12 of 19 from the field. He also pulls down 9 rebounds, dishes out 5 assists. And, as we heard the announcer in a very excited term, forced 4 steals. He gets steals, he gets buckets, and also had 3 block shots, too. I mean, that was a remarkable night from a guy who's just playing out of his mind and isn't getting the love that, frankly, he probably deserves.
So those numbers, I was just reading through some different NBA facts and stats. Those numbers have been put together in regular season games by like 5 or 6 guys in NBA history. That's the first time it's ever been put together in those numbers in a postseason game.
Jeez.
Where you're 40-plus, looking at 3 blocks, looking at the steals numbers, the assists and rebounds. Jimmy Butler was spectacular. One thing that I saw flashed across the screen when I was watching this game last night. So Jimmy Butler has had 5 40-point games, 40-plus point games with Miami. Not a single one in the regular season.
Wow.
All five have been in postseason play. When it really matters, Jimmy Butler goes out there and does it. And what I love about Jimmy Butler, he'll give you effort and energy on both sides. So, you know, Bam Adebayo isn't out there just running around trying to do everything. You've got Jimmy Butler, who is going to give you incredible effort and on the defensive side. And you know what I think it really comes down to? I think, and I'm with you, I don't know why we haven't talked more about this, because I've seen Jimmy Butler in postseason play. It feels like it always means more to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jimmy Butler just loves to win. I think he hates to lose. I think he is an ultimate deep competitor that for some reason, because he's in the East partly for me, and I don't watch a ton of Eastern NBA basketball, sometimes I tend to forget about Jimmy Butler, but he quickly reminded me last night.
I think if there is a player right now that has, and I'm not comparing them as far as skill level goes, but I'm comparing them in terms of mindset, that's close to Kobe right now, it's Jimmy Butler.
Might be.
Because Jimmy is not an easy player to play with. Mm-hmm. He's not an easy player to coach.
I mean, how many dust-ups did we see on their bench through the regular season? Two or three.
And you go back in his history. I mean, you go back in time with all the other teams he's been with. He is not an easy person to be around. He's not an easy person to coach with, as you mentioned, the dust-up with Spo. Like, he's not a particularly pleasant human being. But you know what? I'm okay with that, and it's easy for me because I'm not playing with him or I'm not coaching him or I'm not covering him. That's easy for me to say, but because I'm willing – because he's about winning. You know, if you're a jerk and you're a bad teammate and you're a bad person, you know, in the locker room, and because your priorities aren't about winning, then that's unforgivable. But if you're just so enamored with winning that you are – going to have dust up with teammates that you feel aren't given the same level of effort as you.
Or a coach that you feel like's not on the same page with winning as you.
I understand that. And I think that's certainly forgivable.
So a couple things from last night. Tyler Hero, it continues to just fascinate me. And I can't imagine Miami's going to be able to hold on to him for much longer. Because Tyler Hero is becoming a big-time player in the NBA and has been over the last couple of years. And he shows what he's able to do. I love Gabe Vincent, his game, and what he did last night. And then I also want to remind people that just a couple hours before this game tipped off, you found out that Marcus Smart wouldn't go. And some people were kind of guessing that Marcus Smart wouldn't go because of the foot issue in Game 7. But Marcus Smart couldn't go. And then I think as big – maybe not as big when you're talking about Marcus Smart needing to guard up on some of these elite players that Miami has, but Al Horford out with health and safety protocols. I have not heard the details on that, Scotty. I just know that he was out with health and safety protocols. Does that mean a positive COVID test? Because if that means a positive COVID test, we might see him out of game two.
Yeah, we just need to wait and see. It's a good question. I don't know.
Because I haven't seen the details on it. But he went into health and safety protocols, and most of us found out just a couple hours before that game tipped. But impressive performance by Jimmy Butler. I'm with you, man. He's underappreciated. I haven't given him the love that he probably deserves. I do still think that Boston wins this series. At least get Marcus Smart back, and Marcus is going to be that tenacious defender that – he got major award recognition this year over, and Al Horford has been nothing short of spectacular, fighting Father Time. And if those two are on the court, maybe it's a bit of a different story. Because remember, Boston had a nice lead going in at half.
Mm-hmm.
Boston played an incredible half. In fact, Boston won three quarters in this game. It was just the third quarter. Getting outscored 39-14 in the third quarter.
Yeah, you're outscored first, second, and fourth, and then the third quarter.
Bam.
Bam. Houston put the took one hammer quarter down. Yeah.
Miami was incredible in that third quarter.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans, we're hanging out today at Tri-Day Trading. Go to tridaytrading.com. That's tridaytrading.com. So many great opportunities for you to get involved and frankly, change your life.
Yeah, Tri-Day Trading is going to help you in a financial situation. And I think right now people, Scotty, are seeing the economy and the market go all over the place, and they're probably thinking, I don't know if that's where we should be right now.
Yeah.
Like, can we really make money in day trading with the economy being as unpredictable and the market being as unpredictable? That's actually how you make money in day trading, because you buy and you sell. On a buy, you see increase. On a sell, you want decrease. All you want is volatility. You can buy or sell, so you're making money as the market is going up or down. And right now, tri-day trading is helping people in financial gains, big time. Like, this is the time to do it. If you've ever thought about doing it, right now is the time to sign up for this webinar and get started on figuring out how you could take advantage of what the market's doing.
It's really simple. 30 days of coaching, only $10, and that $10 gets donated to charity. You get one-on-one coaching for 30 days to see if it's right for you. If not, they give you a pat on the back and say, we're good. Mm-hmm. If you want to proceed, then you can proceed at that point. But remember, it's a no-pressure 30-day opportunity for you to learn, and you really get a great, great deep understanding of what they do here.
I like that you mentioned that it's no pressure, because Scotty and I don't want to send you somewhere where it's like, well, now you took the webinar, now your life's signed away. I want you to understand that when you go through this, you end up trading their money. So they're going to fund an account. They give you the money to put into the market. They teach you how to become a day trader. Then they give you money to put in the market. They want people that are committed. They don't want people that are like, well, okay, I guess I'll try it. But you know, I'm not sure about it. They don't want that. If you aren't sure, they'll be like, thanks. As Scotty said, handshake, go on your way. They want people that are like, I want to make money, and I want to use your money to do it.
Yeah.
And they will say, okay, good, here's our money, this is how. Follow the rules, we all make money.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Go to trydaytrading.com right now. That's trydaytrading.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
We're joined right now by Ben Bolch, UCLA Bruins beat writer for the LA Times. You mentioned the 3-0 start because the non-conference schedule is soft. It's all at home. But the next two games in September at Colorado and home to Washington, shouldn't the Bruins be 5-0 when they host the Utes?
Absolutely. You know, you can already kind of circle that Utah game as the Pac-12 South showdown game. I mean, of course, there could be a surprise in waiting before then. And certainly if UCLA stumbles one of those non-conference games, the complexion of their season changes entirely. But I think given what they have and assuming no significant injuries, 5-0 is a pretty solid bet going into that game. And it would be a lot of fun to have game day back at UCLA for a second consecutive year and a buzzworthy game that we haven't really seen in a long time around UCLA.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 12.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. This Uinta Golf PGA Championship Update with Bob Casper is brought to you by Mountain Land Supply, Zions Bank, Hope's Vision, Siegfried and Jensen, and Get Some Guns and Ammo. And now, Real Golf Radio's Bob Casper.
Time to get some PGA Championship update with Bob Casper right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I loved how you kind of snuck that in there. Get some sports update.
You like that?
Yep. Yeah, that was good.
Hey, are the Saudis offering you any money? Because it seems like they're handing out money to everybody these days if they're willing to take it.
I'll tell you what, it's crazy. You know, purportedly, Bryson was supposed to get 140. Phil's supposed to get 140 plus. Ian Poulter, maybe 30. Probably Lee Westwood, around 30 or 40. And there's a lot of guys that purportedly had been, had signed and been given money. And then when everything came out with Phil and his comments and all that kind of thing,
a
lot of guys paid their money back. So, yeah, it's, they're trying to buy everybody. That's for sure.
Well, I think if I would have taken money, Bob, I probably would have paid it back. And then I'd be like, oh, man, I hope there's not a paper trail. I hope they can't go back, well, in my history and be like, hey, but you took money from them.
You know, the interesting thing is that a lot of people are saying now, with a lot more revelations that have come out about Phil with his gambling debt, debts between 2010 and 2014 of $10 million a year. You know, he has a like a Gulfstream 5 or 6 or something like that, that's his baby, and he sold it last year. A lot of people are saying that this whole situation for Phil and why he's holding his space so much, and this is just conjecture, is that he can't afford not to do it right now. So, which is unfortunate if that's the case. But there's a lot more behind this all, especially with Phil, than what's out on the surface right now.
Ooh. Is his first golf tournament back, is it going to be at this LIV tournament, do you think?
Well, everybody was kind of hoping that he'd be here this week, yeah. And he's not, which is unfortunate. And if it is that first one, maybe he's kind of throwing a shot across the bow on everybody in the golf world with saying that he's going to play the PGA, and then he's not, and then he's going to go play the LIV golf event. Now, if he's worried about the media and, you know, the questions he's going to have to answer and those types of things, playing that event over in London is probably going to be the easiest way for him to get back into the golfing community without having to answer all the questions of every single reporter at major championships. He is also scheduled to play the U.S. Open, and he'll probably play the British Open as well, because he is a past champion of the British Open. So, and he's exempt to play the U.S. Open by virtue of his win last year here at the PGA Championship. So, yeah, it's now it remains to be seen if that is the first event that he's going to play or if he's going to play the following week in the U.S. Open in Boston.
So, Bob, this new Saudi Arabian tour is obviously infusing tons and tons of money to try to entice these players, but I think guys want prestige. And I'm wondering, do you think that the majors on the tour majors, the four big ones, are going to allow the LIV Tour players to participate in those majors?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Hans, because, you know, we've thought about it. It's not just the matter of playing the PGA Tour or the LIV Tour, okay? The Saudis have infused another $2 billion into this fund to project events out for the next 3, 4, 5 years. So they've got unlimited money. They're sports washing. They're getting sports to come in and make their country look great with all everything that they do and their atrocities and stuff that people all know about and all that kind of thing. So they're doing the sports washing, but the governing bodies, Augusta National, can pick and choose how they want to allow players to get into their and play in their event, their entry category. They could decide, you know what, we're not going to take world ranking points anymore. There's all kinds of things. They could say, if you're part of the LIV event, then we're not going to grant exemptions from LIV players. As far as the open events, as far as majors, you've got the U.S. Open and you've got the British Open. So players can go, I could go try to qualify for those, and I have before in the past. So now what they're saying is well, maybe they don't offer the exemption based on how a player finishes on the European Tour or the PGA Tour or the other tours worldwide, and they make those guys that are on that LIV Tour have to go through all the qualifyings, all the steps, the regional, the sectional, and then be able to play in the event. And then the PGA of America has basically come out and said, listen, if you're not a member of the PGA Tour, then guess what? You're not, you know, or the other big tours, then you're not going to be able to play in the PGA Championship. So that kind of gives you an idea what they do with those four major championships. But each one of them, you know, if you go LIV, you're not going to play European Tour. You're not going to play Japanese Tour. You're not going to play PGA Tour. You're going to lose your membership. And with membership, these guys sign off that they're going to do things that aren't going to harm the business of the PGA Tour, because it's in basically harming themselves. And if they jump ship, then they've negated their contract with the PGA Tour and the membership.
Bob Casper joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Bob, let's talk about the event coming up this week. Do you like the PGA Championship in this slot? It seems like it's made it far more relevant than it was before, at least from, and I consider myself, I'm a casual golf fan. I'll watch the majors. I enjoy them. But the PGA Championship always kind of got lost in the shuffle with me. Now that it's in May, I'm a little bit more dialed in.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always was called Glory's Last Shot, and it was in August, and you went Masters, and then you kind of, and then you had the Players' Championship, and then the last three majors of the year. Well, now, by pushing it into May, you allow slots for the Olympics, which we weren't in the Olympics before, and it condenses. Now you got a major every month for a four-month period, and the Players' Championship moves back to March. So you kind of get a precursor of what's going to happen in the majors with the Players, the biggest event on the PGA Tour, and then you get the four majors in a row. So yeah, I think it's a really good idea that they put it here in May. It also allows you to bring places like this where it's going to be warm, it's going to be 90 degrees here, and get a little bit better towards the weekend. But when we were here in 2007, when Tiger won, I kid you not, we didn't want to leave the media center. It was 100, 102, 103 degrees with 95% humidity, and everybody was remarking, even the Players this week have remarked, that it was the hottest major championship that they ever played in. And so I think by moving it forward, you bring the ability to bring it back to places like this and not have it be so tough as far as the weather is concerned.
So, Bob, during the Masters week, and you know that Lloyd, Scotty, and I, we always pick our golfers. During Masters week, we added a new wrinkle, plus or minus 5 strokes, if we predict Tiger Woods making the cut or missing the cut. Will Tiger Woods make the cut or miss the cut in this year's PGA Championship?
This year, Tiger Woods make the cut. This year, Tiger Woods will make the cut. He was the one that won here the last time it was played. The golf course has had a bit of a facelift done on it. But everybody's talking about Tiger this week. His rehab that he's gone through has really shown well for him. He's hitting the ball a little bit. He's hitting the ball further. He's stronger. And he looks really good. He's got a smile on his face. I'll tell you, when we saw him walk away after the last round of the Masters, after he talked with the media, man, he was in pain, and he was limping, and it was tough for him to get around. But I'll tell you what, he's looking really, really good right now, and Tiger has always played well when it's warm. At Augusta this year, it was kind of cool, especially towards the weekend. So I think this is going to be a good one for him here in the PGA Championship.
Bob Casper right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Tony Finau, how does this course play into his game?
Tony plays great in major championships on big golf courses, and this is a big one. 75, almost 7,600 yards. It only has 2 par 5s, and both those par 5s are over 630 yards. One's like 630-something and 650. it's not a golf course where if you don't hit the fairway that you're going to just be able to hit it as hard as you want. Don't hit the fairway and just gouge it out and get it on the greens. All these greens are difficult, really, really difficult. And the guy's going to have to chip the putt really well around the greens this week. So, and then also you've got this, you know, this Bermuda rough where it's about 4 or 5 inches long, and the ball goes bouncing into the rough, and it doesn't sit on top. It drops right through the bottom down to the ground. So it's going to be difficult. My opinion is this week you're going to see a guy win the golf tournament that is going to hit a lot of greens, and the only way to be able to hit a lot of greens is to hit a lot of fairways.
So this is just a base golfing question. How much contemplation is there when these golfers are trying to decide which clubs are in their bag? Because I know you've got limited number of clubs in your bag. How often does that change, Bob, as far as what clubs they put in their bag?
You know, it's kind of interesting. Players pretty much are set week to week on the PGA Tour. But then you get in a major and you might use a driving iron instead of a 2-iron, or you might use a 7-wood instead of a 2-iron, something like that, or a 3-iron. So guys will, based on the golf course, especially in the major championships, guys might shift a little bit and change a couple of clubs that might be more of an advantage for them with their golf game around that golf course. So it happens, but for the most part, these guys stay pretty set week to week.
Bob, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us, and excited, man. This is always going to be a lot of fun. This is a fun tournament, a lot to get excited about. Should be fun coming up on Thursday.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to you in a couple days, Bob.
All right. There you go. That's your 2022 PGA Championship coverage right here on The Zone, brought to you by Uinta Golf, improving Utah golfers since 1971. All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is unripe.
Guys are doing a hell of a job.
Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network.
He may get too much praise, but I don't think he's getting enough right now and around the country. I think he's a Heisman candidate. I think he needs to be talked about like that. And I think it's on people like you and myself and those of us that know this league to scream from the rooftops to make sure that whoever's calling those games, whoever's talking about it, it could be whatever mouth from the South you want, but you better know Cam Rising. This dude is elite. He needs to be talked about that based on previous performances, also based on his recruiting and his standing and rankings coming out of high school. I mean, this is a dude in that regard and should be given that type of praise. And if he's not, then whoever's supposed to be doing their job covering the country isn't doing it, because Utah's a real threat.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Hans, you and I don't get a chance to chat a lot of baseball, but this is a big event as Salt Lake Community College, their baseball team, which, by the way, ranked number 11th. They're 22-1 at home during the season, overall 45-8, wow. Entering into this Western District tournament coming up. It'll kick off on Thursday. And joining us now, Slick head coach D.G. Nielsen, kind enough to join us. How are you?
Hey, Coach.
Doing really well. Good to be here.
Hey, we're excited to chat with you and talk a little bit about what has been a really just an incredible season. What is it about your team that's really led things to where you're at right now?
Well, that's a loaded question. It's a good group. Very talented, very athletic, and more importantly, they just are good kids. It makes it fun to show up every day.
So now you get an opportunity to host this tournament. How much does it mean? I mean, we've got this 22-1 record at Kate Field. How much does it mean to have this tournament at your place?
It's huge. In baseball, it's unlike most other sports where every field is a little different. Dimensions, playing surface, and we all kind of recruit to our own field. And in our field, it's a big part. Turf field that guys need to run fast on and make plays, and to have it here, it's pretty special.
So also you've got CSI, which will be there. You've got the Region 1 champion Central Arizona, Region 9 champion Southeast Community College out of Nebraska. Let's talk about the competition you're facing, because it seems like you got the who's who coming in here to your field.
Yeah, it's a loaded field, and it's the hard part of junior college baseball. There's no automatic bid. It's all kind of a regionalized and numbers-based. You have two highly ranked teams, and then Southeastern, who is a loaded ball club. They have the top hitter in the country right now, and only one team gets to go, and then add CSI, who now, because of the way it works, the hosting region gets two in, and CSI is as good a club as I've seen around. They're a quality club that can flat out hit and really pitch it. So it's tough. When it goes to the national rankings, the team ERA, you've got three teams in here that are in the top 10 in the country with ERA.
Well, we need to get some people out to this ball field, and we need to get as much support as we can get out there to try to help the cause. And that's really what this is all about, you know, really just trying to get the community to surround this, because it's a unique opportunity to have the Western District Tournament right here in our own backyard. And, Coach, I got to imagine you'd love to have as many people out there as you can get.
Absolutely. And then taking pride in our area. Salt Lake, we have probably 70%+ of our players are from Utah. CSI coming in is around that number. You have a lot of talent in Utah showing off this weekend at Kate Field. And it's a great facility. Not only is it one of the best playing surfaces and facilities around, our administration is finally building around it. We're building a clubhouse and all sorts of stuff to kind of upgrade it this summer. It's a great facility and a great venue to watch these young athletes put on a show.
You've got your team playing well. Kyle Taylor had the basketball team right there in the thick of a national championship as well. What's in the water there at Slick right now? You guys are there's been a lot of good things going on right now.
Yeah, it is an incredible athletic department. And that starts on top. You go to our president, Denise Heflin is one of the best around. Add to it, because it takes a school to create something like this. I think we're ranked number three in the country academically. It's not a normal junior college. We're able to provide all of what you need to move on. Plus, kids are getting upper level classes that work. And then obviously financially, it's a very great place to start your education. And to bring athletes in here, have the opportunity to move them forward. And we are so well supported from her to our VP Chuck to our athletic director Kevin. They do a great job and care about the athlete first and their future, which allows things like this to happen.
Well, I just went to slccbruins.com. Again, that's just slccbruins.com. And right there on the front page, it says Western District Baseball Playoffs. You click on that, it takes you to a ticket page for you to buy your tickets. There's a perfect opportunity to get out there with your kids and take the whole family, go out there and cheer on. As Coach was talking about, it's not just SLCC that's bringing the local talent out. There's going to be a lot of local talent coming in to that field. So please go get the tickets. Go out there, enjoy some of these amazing games, and cheer them on, because you just don't get to see this often.
No, really appreciate it. And these kids have worked hard, and then I'll say it. I think we are quite talented and very athletic from top to bottom, and from speed to power. And then we've been in that spot in the top one or two in the country ERA. The guys will pound the zone and play a great style of baseball to watch. It's fun to watch.
So before we let you go, Coach, I know you want to take it one game at a time, and you got to focus on this thing. But what's the winner of this tournament? What's the end game? What do they move on to?
All right. So then, the winner of this tournament goes to the World Series.
Wow.
I'll be frank. The junior college baseball's got to get better in their national tournament. They're still stuck at 10 teams. To have four teams of this caliber here and only one goes is kind of a travesty, and that happens throughout the country. And time to expand that a little bit and follow the NCAA model that is exciting to watch. But it's a neat start and beginning, and we go take care of business this weekend. 10 teams in the country will go to Grand Junction next week, or in a week and a half, and play for national title.
Well, Coach, good luck. We're rooting for you. Let's get a big crowd out there. Should be a lot of fun, and let's keep it rolling.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
Coach. Got it. Fun conversation right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We'll be posting a link to those tickets here pretty soon. But Slick, one of four teams playing in this tournament. The winner moves on and plays in the Junior College World Series. D.G. Nielsen, head coach of that Slick baseball team. But, yeah, they had their basketball team played for a national championship in the junior college ranks, so they've got it rolling there.
Well, as you know, my daughter plays volleyball for Snow College, and they're in the same division as SLCC, so they face them often, and that's always a really good volleyball team too. They've got a great department.
Yeah.
As Coach mentioned, it's got really probably comes back to the president, which moves on to the athletic director, but you talk to anybody that plays there with the Bruins, and they love it. I know we don't talk a lot of NJCAA on the show or really in general, but it's a lot of great talent that are working their way up the ranks. And in today's world of transfers, these JUCO players are getting a lot of looks. And look, if you can play baseball, they're going to find you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you play baseball. The majors are going to find you. And the majors drafts are so much more unique than the NBA or the NFL drafts because of the depth of the draft. If you could play baseball, they're going to find you, put you in the minors, and get you moving.
All right, 1 o'clock, Hans and Scotty. We're hanging out here at Tri-Day Trading. Go to tridaytrading.com for more information, and it's really simple. You get 30 days, $10. You're going to get 30 days of individualized coaching just for you. That's right, you and a coach. 30 days to really figure out if this is right for you and if you can make money, and a lot of people can.
That's where you and I started, right?
Yep, absolutely.
We did the 30-day thing, and we got moving, created our accounts. It's fun because they give you a dummy account. It's fake money in live action, and you work with fake money, and you go through the coaching, and they help you place some of the trades. And whether you're buying or selling, depending on if the market's going up or the market's going down, and you're watching the volatility and you're watching the movement, it's, to me, it's a challenge. To me, it's a unique challenge. I love challenges. So, you know, when I'm really feeling up to it, I jump on and I get moving with some trades. I challenge myself to stick to the rules, to follow the guidelines that I've been given. And, you know, you get in there and you start making those trades and you can have a lot of fun.
Well, and if a lemon can do it, not everybody can do it. But if we can do it, you definitely can do it. But a lemon sets the standard a little higher than just you and me. A lemon Harrington joins us. A lemon, how are you?
What's up, a lemon?
I'm doing great, guys. And I would agree with you that I'm in that category. If a lemon Harrington can do this, than anybody can do this, because I'm just like the regular, listener out there that had questions at first and then wondered if I had the academic acumen to be able to understand everything that I would need to be doing, and if my math was up to par, and none of that really mattered. All that I needed to bring to the equation was my interest, my enthusiasm. And so those parts for me, I was able to bring, and they handled the rest. And my coach, Jared Johnson, is fantastic. We've got a ton of great coaches at Tri-Day Trading. And so I just encourage anybody who's curious about this to make the decision to just go to the website. And that's just tridaytrading.com. And if you go for the $10 30-day trial, you're going to get exposed to all of the information, resources, and assets that are going to be available to you. And you'll be able to make a decision at that point whether, it's something that you're ready to commit to or not. And so for me, it was that simple. And it started off with me having questions and wondering if I can do it. And the answer to that question is yes.
Really simple. Go to tridaytrading.com. That's tridaytrading.com. Thanks, Lemmy. You're the best, man.
All right, guys.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Some big news coming in the world of college football, just breaking about 2 minutes ago. We'll tell you what that is and what that means for in-state teams, in particular the University of Utah for next season. It's all straight ahead, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.